Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 131. Ancient History Magazine kickstarted with Jasper Ortiz and Yasha Browers. So as you can tell from the title, whether you're new or a long-term listener, we are very excited because there are two special guests joining me on this episode. One of them you are familiar with, who's been on a few times, and another I'm excited because I've been wanting him to come on for quite a long time. So I am, of course, talking about Jasper Ortiz and Yasha Browers. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So why don't we, before we dig into what Ancient History Magazine is and why you're kickstarting it, why don't we just start with you first, Jasper, and allow the listeners to know who you are. Why are you here with me today?
I am the managing director of Cohen Sarai Publishers, and I am here with you today because we are launching or planning to launch a new magazine, and essentially we're using the Kickstarter to test the waters. Everybody does, I think, usually with Kickstarters. And we've talked before, of course, about the Wargaming Soldiers and Strategy, mostly, because that fits your remit of your podcast better. But I'll be happy to talk about anything we produce, as it really.
Well, we also had a good time talking about the great Wargaming Survey, as I like to call it.
Ah, that's true. Yeah.
That was a very good episode.
For me, that's part of Wargaming Soldiers and Strategy.
True. And how about you, Yasha? Why are you here today?
Well, I also work for Cohen Sarai Publishers. Jasper founded Ancient Warfare Magazine back in the day, and I took it over as editor at the end of 2012. And last year we had the idea of sort of branching out and doing a magazine devoted more generally to the ancient world, and that's why we're going to try to do the Kickstarter starting this Wednesday. And I will be one of the editors for the new magazine also, pushing it forward, as it were.
That's excellent. So let's talk about Ancient History Magazine. As you've both alluded to, there is already an Ancient Realm magazine, Ancient Warfare. What makes Ancient History Magazine different from Ancient Warfare, and why would someone be interested in it? I know online some people had commented that you're basically targeting the same audience. And I mean, I don't think that's true, but why don't you tell me what makes us special?
It's very simple, and it's really in the name. Ancient Warfare Magazine, everything is going to be focused on warfare in one way or another. We have these, the themes can be, have a broader topic, but every, and, the theme is always going to be warfare focused, I should say. And you can have articles that may be slightly more, you know, sociological, economical, cultural. I mean, we've done, religion and warfare, for instance, but it's, always connected, always comes back to warfare. Now you might say the ancient world is a violent place. That's very true. But not everything is all about warfare all the time. So Ancient History Magazine is going to be dedicated to just the history of the ancient world, period. And that can be anything. We could have an issue about, you know, love and marriage. We could have a very political issue, in which case there might be, you know, something about warfare in there. We could have something that's very economical, something very cultural. It's just a much broader spectrum of possible topics than you would have in Ancient Warfare Magazine. And yes, there's certainly an overlap in the audience. I know for a fact that a lot of people who are interested in warfare in the ancient world want to know more about it because, of course, you know, everything is connected. And certainly if you are connected, interested in political history of the ancient world, then yeah, I mean, you're going to end up with a lot of warfare. But I know that there are also readers of ancient warfare who are perfectly happy with just reading ancient warfare and don't really care about or not very interested in the broader world, ancient world. And I know that there are a lot of people who are interested in the ancient world, but not particular in the military aspects of it. So it's a Venn diagram.
Okay.
That's really true. I mean, it's to a certain extent something also that we think is a commercially sound choice, as it were, because we've been to conferences where we have stacks of ancient warfare, medieval warfare, and then some people walk past and they look and they say, oh, it's all warfare, you don't have anything else? And we say, no, sorry, we don't have anything else. And the problem is that there's nothing in the market really that does what ancient and medieval warfare do, only for the ancient world in general. So it's a magazine that offers in-depth articles and good reconstruction drawings and original photographs. It's nothing really like that about the ancient world. So we're sort of trying to fill a niche there too.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned that there's nothing really there right now on the ancient world. Is that why you picked for ancient history as opposed to medieval history or colonial history or any other period of history?
We could have, you could have gone for everything. There is actually, I think there's space in the marketplace for more magazines that, in the way that we do them. And there is interest in the ancient world. Of course, there's archaeology magazine, there's biblical archaeology, and there's even, of course, there's a host of academic journals which are very specialized but not easily available. But for us, it just, it made sense. Ancient Warfare is our oldest title. It's the, in some ways, the strongest title. And we have the expertise at hand. I mean, Yosho is an ancient archaeologist, by training. I'm an ancient historian by training. We're good friends with, the co-editor who is, now on a trip still. Be back Tuesday, I think, who is the, webmaster of livius.org, and if you're, if you've ever done any search for any ancient topic in Google, there'll be, the first one will be the Wikipedia link, and very likely the second one is going to be livius.org. This, this guy knows so much about the ancient world, so it just made sense to, test it first with ancient history, and then, who knows, if it works, we might expand the program.
Why don't we talk about the co-editor, because as far as I'm aware, none of your other titles have multiple editors. So, Yasha, would you like to talk about what you think it'll be like to work with someone else as an editor and the challenges and also the benefits of that?
Yeah, sure. I just want to go back to the previous question for one moment about the other magazines that are in the that are available right now that Jasper also mentioned. They're all tend to focus on particular disciplines. So you have archaeology magazine, you have biblical archaeology and all those magazines, and they tend to focus on a particular discipline. And one of the things that we try to do with ancient warfare, and what we will do even more, what will be more noticeable, let's say, with ancient history magazine, is that we try to transcend the different disciplines. So we really try to mesh archaeology and ancient history and classics together to create this magazine that really is about the ancient world rather than focusing on a particular discipline in itself. And I think that's one of the distinguishing features for Ancient History Magazine. And that's also why, for example, if you look at Ancient Warfare and you compare it to other magazines in the market, Ancient Warfare, one of the distinguishing features is the use of reconstruction drawings, for example, that really sets it apart from other magazines where often they use these 19th century paintings or other stuff that are fine as far as aesthetics are concerned, but don't have a great educational value. And I think that what we try to do with Ancient History Magazine, a magazine devoted to the ancient world, like Ancient Warfare, only broader, will really raise the bar in this field, as it were. And as regards the co-editorship, I'm doing, if you open up Ancient Warfare, if you read the colophon, it says editor, Yosha Brouwers. But in the office, it's a small office. Or rather the space itself is fairly big, but there's a few people working there, and it's much improved from the previous office as far as space is concerned. But we all sit at the table and we all, toss ideas around, and whenever I go through proposals for ancient warfare, I always make this scheme, a single sheet of A4 paper where I say, okay, this is what I think the structure is going to be like for the next issue of Ancient Warfare. These proposals I'm going to incorporate. And then I always pass it on to Jasper to hear his comments. And also if there's any articles where I'm not exactly sure about the material, because, you know, I'm a specialist basically, so I don't know everything about the ancient world. And Jasper is knowledgeable about the ancient Romans. Jona Lendering knows an awful lot about the ancient world in general. So whenever I'm not sure about a particular subject, I always pass it on to one of them to read and to comment, to say, you know, is this a good article to do? So we already work together on these magazines. So it's not a big step to say, okay, let's try to do this magazine with two editors, and let's try to see if we can divide the workload a little bit, also to make sure that I don't go insane with doing two magazines on my own.
There's a very simple reason. You know, running a magazine, you know, it takes at least three days a week, and you know, we try to be reasonably good employers, so don't try to ask Yosha to work, you know, 90 hours a week. So you know, that makes sense to share the load a bit. And you know, we know Yona very well, and as Yosha said, he is Yona knows a lot of stuff, and we all know a lot of stuff, but about different things. And you notice really. It's kind of refreshing because, you know, when I started out Ancient Warfare, I was by myself, and essentially, Yosho, you know, we give each other feedback, but essentially Ancient Warfare is now, Yosho's baby. But I found anyway that since we started to talk about Ancient History Magazine, and you really, you know, you really, the three of us try to think about what this magazine is going to be like, you get so much more, you know, you get feedback and you get ideas and you feed off of each other, and it's much more inspiring, and enthusiasm increases for everybody. I think that's just that way of working is new for us, but I think it's actually, it's undoubtedly going to be challenging because you have to check back with people. You can't just go, okay, I want to do it this way now, so we're going to change it. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some people management and undoubtedly some conflicts, but you know, that's what everybody thinks an editorial office should be like, right? So, I think I have to buy some cigars to jump.
Should we start calling you Ben Bradley?
Yeah, I don't think we have a Peter in the office yet, but maybe we can arrange that.
Well, I gotta say, the whole idea of having a co-editor to me sounds fantastic, because just with what I do here on Wargaming Recon, I am Wargaming Recon. So everything from coming up with topics, editing, recording, scheduling guests, PR, you know, all the, everything, dealing with listeners and going to events. It's stuff I love. And I mean, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't be doing it. And so in some ways, like you said, there's that freedom, because if I say, well, I think this is the best way to do it, even if it's wrong or if it's right, I'm the one who made the decision and I get to do it, and no one's really going to tell me no. On the other hand, having someone else to bounce the ideas off of and someone to kind of share the load and share the joy of it, would be so helpful and would make my life easier, especially since, I have that newborn in the household. And so, I mean, that's a challenge in and of itself. So if I was able to have like my own, I don't know, co-host or whatever, I could say, hey, do you mind doing such and such? Because I got to go do a midnight feeding or, you know, whatever. So I think that's a really good dynamic, and one that, like you said, with the correct level of people management and everything, which I know you guys can accomplish, it means that it's just, in my opinion, destined for success.
Well, I guess you've just chosen a long-term solution. You're raising your own co-host.
We'll see, right? So why don't we dig into the Kickstarter? This is for either of you, whoever wants to chime in first to, I guess it's like a speed trial, right? Why don't you talk about the Kickstarter? You mentioned a little bit about why you chose it, but maybe go a little more in depth with that, and explain what the Kickstarter project is, when it starts, when it ends, A to Z, soup to nuts.
And we're both trying to be polite. Should I do it, Joshua? Or start off?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. I was, this was a sort of a fingers on buzzers moment.
Yeah, everybody's like,
yeah. It's never wrong to be nice to the boss, right?
Now, you know, when we started out Ancient Warfare, it came out of, I don't know if you know this, but out of Roman Army Talk Forum. If you go there now, RomanArmyTalk.com has, I don't know, thousands of members. And we sort of floated the idea there, and you get a lot of feedback, and, you know, that gave us sufficient confidence to just go out and try it. As far as I know, there's no real ancient history forum as such. There's all kinds of sort of splintered bits. And of course, there's classicists who find each other and people who like to read about ancient history. There is a sub forum on Roman Army Talk about sort of civil life. But starting a magazine is a very expensive undertaking. And if you don't know that anybody wants to read it, it's kind of risky. So, you know, we figured, you know, everybody's trying Kickstarter, so let's jump on the bus. Hopefully that worked out for us, but it's a good way to just see, what is available. You know, how many people respond to this idea of ours to launch a magazine like we've already got, but then about a slightly different topic. That's why we chose Kickstarter, and it's going to start on this Wednesday, March 18th. And it's going to run for 30 days. So, well, it's not going to end on April 18th, but a couple days before that, 15th, I guess.
That's April the 17th. It's the Friday, last Friday.
That week. All right. Thank you for checking.
You made mention of interest from people. And of course, unless you're Apple, you're not going to launch something without knowing people want it. I mean, even if you are Apple, maybe you should. Yeah. But previously, before you even got to the point of saying we're doing a Kickstarter, there was a survey that went around on the interwebs and people could respond to it. And I know I was very excited when I saw that the survey was there and took the time out during my work day. I was like, oh, time for a break. Let me do my survey. And why don't you talk a little bit about the survey as it pertains to the Kickstarter?
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's kind of an easy way, again, to start and gauge interest. But we've also learned, and that's why you want to test it in the end with a Kickstarter. Filling out a survey is free. It's just going to cost you a couple minutes of time. Handily SurveyMonkey. Oh, there it goes. Very slow. So, you know, it's almost, the Kickstarter is almost a way to verify, you know, people in the survey may say, hey, this is awesome and wonderful and I want it. But, you know, we've seen that before. If a lot of people say I want it, then you know, by the time it's time to pay, then it's different people or other people, it's wrong time or they haven't found out about it or whatever. Actually, I blogged about it too, didn't I?
You did.
Yep.
About the results of the survey.
In the blog post, I know you made mention to some content in Ancient Warfare magazine, and I know not everyone subscribes to it, even if they would like to for, you know, a variety of reasons. So I don't know if you'd like to expand on some of what you said in there.
That's fine. If you, what are you referring to?
Well, in the blog post, for example, you summarize what happened in the survey, but then you made mention of a little more detailed results as it pertains to areas of interest for the magazine, yeah, time periods, and so forth.
A lot of it, we can see in the survey, you know, obviously the people that we can reach most easily are the people who already read our magazine. And in the case of Ancient History Magazine, that's likely going to be the readers of Ancient Warfare. So I can see that reflected in some of the results. And when we started out with Ancient Warfare back in 2007, we also did a survey. And, you know, some of the interest, for instance, if you look at the periods and the areas of interest, they're exactly the same. That may just be that it, you know, we have our Ancient Warfare audience is a dominant group in this survey, or that's just a general interest worldwide. Although then I might expect that Egypt, for instance, would have been a bit more prominent.
I was surprised by that because, I mean, at the top of it, if I remember correctly, it's like ancient Greece, ancient Rome.
Ancient Rome is on top, always.
Mm. Yeah. But then ancient Greece, not ancient Greece, I'm sorry, ancient Egypt was further down, and yeah. I felt bad for myself partly because I'm getting more interested in this area, but also Neil Shook of the Meeples and Miniatures podcast, that the Orient in general would just kind of almost not existed in replies, and that's something mainly because it seems like so few people are interested in that area that I would love to see more on that because there's nothing really out there, not a whole lot of it anyway, in the English-speaking world.
Yeah, that might be a function of the ancient warfare audience, I think, because as far as military matters are concerned, there is not so much you can do with the Bronze Age, aside from relatively general topics and such. I'm now putting together the next issue of Ancient Warfare, 9.3, after the next issue, which is on wars in Anatolia, and it's largely the Hittites. And it's always, people always are interested, but it's always difficult to get writers together and proposals. If we do a Greek or Roman issue, I get 20, 30 proposals easily. And with these issues, it's always more difficult. And they are popular, nevertheless, by readers. I'm not exactly sure if it gets sold better individually in stores or makes any difference with subscribers. But it's, as far as warfare is concerned, it's less rich a field, let's say, to harvest from than Greek and Roman stuff. And I expect that for the Ancient History magazine, since the topic will be broader, you can also expand it into other topics outside of the military. So you can move away from Bronze Age chariots and discuss like religion in ancient Egypt and political machinations there. And so I imagine that for Ancient History magazine, once that gets going and it gets readers, that the interest levels will change maybe compared to ancient warfare.
Yeah.
One interesting thing, for example, is that if you look at the Facebook page and the Ancient History Magazine Facebook page has just started, obviously, but already we're seeing there's a much larger number of fans who are female than with Ancient Warfare Magazine. So already there you can see that the audience is different for Ancient History Magazine than for Ancient Warfare Magazine. There may be overlap, but we can see already that there is a difference as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
So returning to the Kickstarter, you made mention of when it begins and ends. Why don't we talk about how much you're hoping to raise, what the money will actually do, and then what the backing levels are, and what, if any, stretch goals you have for either one of you, whoever wants to chime in first.
All right. Well, the goal is 12,500 euros. I mean, we're based in Europe, so it's going to be euros, but at the moment, that's almost parity with a dollar. Not that bad, but it's close. And that's for a single issue. We would have liked to say, okay, that's for the first X issues or, include, for instance, subscriptions as pledge levels. But the problem is that Kickstarter just won't allow that. Kickstarter wants you to create something that can be finished. And of course, a subscription of periodicals, by definition, once it's done, there's automatically the next one. So this is for a single issue. And it's because, you know, it costs a lot of money that we have to print it. We have to pay our authors, illustrators, editors, all that goes into it. And if we make the goal, then there'll be a 68-page issue of Ancient History Magazine in October.
October 2015, right?
October this year, yeah.
And yes, it's going to go to the printers. It's going to go to the prints in October. Yeah.
But it takes 12 days. So if you put it, you get it to the printer in the middle of October, it'll still be out in October.
Okay. So let's say the Kickstarter goes off and it's a huge success. You mm-hmm. get your 12,500 euros, roughly 13,000 American, and you get that first issue funded. Do you think that would give any sort of guarantee, even if it was just internally amongst all of you, over there in the editorial office, even if it's not outside of that, but any sort of guarantee or inkling that maybe this would either become a permanent ongoing publication or that you would at least do, say, a year's worth of content and then evaluate and see how it goes? Or is it more of a, we're doing the first issue, maybe we'll do more, but we're not committing to anything?
Well, you know, the first couple issues are, of course, always risky, but I think we have confidence that if we make this Kickstarter, if we can pull that off in a month, then we're confident that there'll be enough interest in the magazine to get a second and a third. Because you have to remember, of course, between the end of the Kickstarter and the going to print of the first issue, that's a good 6 months, almost exactly, in which time we'll be able to, you know, then we'll be able to start selling subscriptions and single issues. And in fact, we'll be raising the money for a second issue and we'll get the ball rolling. I think, yeah. I mean, we have kept our Kickstarter pledge levels pretty low. And that's actually on purpose. You know, we didn't want to have, in theory, of course, you can arrange your Kickstarter so that you have, you know, three super enthusiastic backers who just pay an enormous amount of money because they want to see this magazine. And that'd be fun. But it's not really what you want. If you're going to start a magazine, you want thousands of people who are willing to pay a small amount of money because they want to have that first issue, and then they want the second and the third, hopefully.
Well, I was just going to ask, when you made mention of raising the money for a second issue, were you referring to like via subscriptions and selling single issues, or do you mean maybe a second Kickstarter?
No. If we do this Kickstarter and it works out, then we're really pretty confident that we can do the rest. Okay. And we can have a going concern. I mean, obviously we're going to be evaluating throughout the summer and fall to see, you know, is this picking up? Are more people than just the people who backed the Kickstarter, finding us? Are they liking the idea? And I think so. I mean, I'm pretty confident that this market is here, and, you know, I'm not saying that Kickstarter will be a walkover, because it certainly is. It might well fail. And even then we might still think, well, you know, it always depends, of course, on how it goes. If you get to, you know, just under the goal so that Kickstarter says, sorry, you didn't make it, that might still mean that there are still hundreds and maybe a couple thousand people who are willing to back us. It's just, you know, just barely under. And you might, yeah, that's what magazine publishing is all about. It's what publishing is about, of course, is taking risks. And magazine publishing is finding all those people who are willing to pay the small amount of money. This is not about selling, you know, big, some kind of gadget that will cost you $300. It's about a magazine, which is going to cost you $10.
Yeah, and it's a matter of constant evaluation as far as when you do the magazine or the books or whatever, you're constantly evaluating every issue. You go like, okay, it comes back from the printer, you check it, you find the mistakes that are always there, of course, and you go like, okay, how can we do better? How can we improve this? What can we do for next issue to make it try to reach perfection, which is unobtainable, of course. And so we always rejigger things. We always try different things. For example, the next issue of Ancient Warfare will have a different table of contents that we think will be more appealing. There's going to be a new segment on Hollywood Romans, for example, and all that stuff. Every time you try to say to yourself, how can we improve this? And that's going to be exactly the same with Ancient History Magazine. Throughout the Kickstarter, we'll be evaluating the feedback, seeing what people respond to, what they don't respond to. And we're going to take everything on board to know that regardless of whether the Kickstarter succeeds or fails, that we take all these lessons on board and use that pushing the company as a whole forward, of course.
Yeah, that's true. The Kickstarter, of course, as a whole, is just a constant market research effort as well. A chance for us to you know, really be in touch with our readers and see, okay, these people like this, what we're doing, will we get more people if we, you know, add this or change that or explain this better, or that, you know, it's a very interesting exercise.
So you both made mention to the supporters or backers for this endeavor, and you know, you're trying to raise 12,500 euros, and of course you need the Kickstarter backers in order to do that. So in order for them to back, they have to pick a different pledge level, and presumably they get something for their pledge. Who would like to maybe start at the most affordable of the pledges and work their way up and just kind of explain, like, let's say I want a pledge, and I mean, I do. So, like, how much money do I need to give you and what do I get? Is basically it.
Well, how much do you have? How much can we,
Let me just take out my wallet and here you go.
It starts out at 5 euros, for this Kickstarter, we're gonna pick three of the illustrations from this first issue, and we're gonna be printing them separately on nice thick paper. And if you pledge 5 euros, you get to pick one of those three mini posters, and you get one of them.
That's cool.
Yeah, we thought so. At 10 euros, you'll get that. You get the first issue of Ancient History Magazine sent to you. And if you're one of the early birds, you'll get a signed copy, in fact, of the magazine.
So that's at 10 euros for the early bird?
Yeah. Yeah, the early birds are all the same price. It's just, I think we have 25 copies at each pledge level that Yosho, Yona, and I will be signing. So we'll have, hopefully we'll, in late October, we'll have a busy signing day. I have a whole stack of magazines and I'll sign them.
Well, I better act fast so I can be sure to snag one of those.
Yeah, you should.
Do you have any levels above the 20 euro mark?
We have a next one is at 20 euros, which will get you Ancient History Magazine and all three mini posters. At 30 euros, there's an extra, a new publication that we'll be putting out on the occasion of the Kickstarter, but it will be available for sale later on, but sometime later after the Kickstarter, after publication as well, because, you know, we want to make sure people who back it get it first. That's the first issue of Ancient History Magazine, and at 30 euros this is. And you have a choice. You get to pick Edge of Empire, Henchmen of Ares, or Dacia of the Roman Wars. These three books we already published. And we're going to publish a new booklet called The Art of Ancient Warfare. For that book, we're going to be... I don't think we've decided this yet, have we, Archie? We'll be picking several dozen illustrations from Ancient Warfare, which have appeared over the last 8 years, and they'll be printed all in, you know, A4 size with a short explanation, and nothing else with it. I mean, because sometimes we have, of course, some of the cover illustrations, people have said, oh, can't we have these as separate images? Or, you know, some of the other ones that have sometimes been smaller than they could have been, or some that we just really, really liked and would like to print separately again. They'll be fun, actually, to pick those. Difficult, too.
There's a lot of really great artwork in all of the publications that you print. So I'm sure it'll be a challenge, but it'll be fun for those of us on the receiving end to see what you pick and then to get one or all of them.
There'll be, we've nearly published, this summer we'll be publishing the 50th issue of Ancient Warfare. Strictly speaking, we have two books and three more specials to pick from. And on average, they have about 6 or 7 illustrations each. That's quite a lot to choose from. The next level is 60 euros, which gets you the same as the 30 euro level. And you could also get a 1-year subscription to one of the magazines. At 100 euros, you will get that, and you'll be listed on the Ancient History Magazine website as a charter subscriber, and you'll be invited to the Ancient History Magazine launch party. Unfortunately, you'll have to pay your own way to get there, so it may not be a very practical reward for some people, but we actually believe that we'll get a lot of support from this country as well. There's a lot of interest in the ancient world in the Netherlands. A really fun reward is from 250 euros. That's the same as for 100 euros, except that your name will also be listed in the first issue. And we'll be asking our artists to use your portrait in one of the illustrations in that first issue. We figured that was something unique that, you know, it almost never ever happens.
I don't think I've seen that.
Our front cover illustrator sometimes uses his own portrait in his illustrations for Ancient Warfare. But otherwise, I don't think it has happened before. At 500 euros, it'll be all that. You'll get a print, a high-quality paper print of the illustration that we used your portrait for. And we will be discussing the theme selection of the first year of Ancient History Magazine. So you'll get real input as far as we can really give it to somebody, because of course there's some limitations of what's practical and what's not with somebody who supports us for that amount of money. So that's the range.
You have a nice array of not only price points for people, because I think you hit the nail on the head, both of you really, that with a magazine, you want a wide base, as wide as possible of supporters, as opposed to something more narrow. So the average person will say, hey, 5 euros, roughly 5-10 bucks, American. I can do that. You know, that's pocket change. Maybe I won't buy an iced coffee today. I'll give that to this. It's a good thing to do. Whereas if it was 50 or 100 or something. Oh, well, I need to think about that. And then there are those who have that higher level and who would say, oh, this is really worth it. I like this and let me do that. So I definitely think that not only do you have a great range of price points, but the rewards are pretty incredible.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope that our prospective backers think of it the same way.
Usually Kickstarter projects happen to have stretch goals.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ones you have?
Yoshi, you want to do this one? I've been talking a lot.
About stretch goals?
Yeah.
I was just typing a little bit of comment about some feedback that we had, so that's why. The stretch goals. We had some ideas for if we reach the minimum amount, we'll be able to fund the first issue for sure. And if we get more money, we might be able to make that first issue bigger, so that we might be able to add more pages to the first issue. We're not exactly decided on how many pages, but we'll be discussing that tomorrow when we're also recording a video for the Kickstarter. And further stretch goals might include a second issue of Ancient History Magazine, and then also a larger second issue, and so on. So we don't want to get carried too far away with doing loads and loads of stretch goals, and just trying to keep it simple and see how the Kickstarter develops. We've seen with other Kickstarter campaigns that sometimes when it goes really well, they start adding more stretch goals to give people an idea of what to do, but we want to keep it sort of low key at first.
I think that's a really good idea. Some Kickstarters have lots of stretch goals that it seems unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't want to be unrealistic with the Kickstarter. I mean, it's just like Jasper said before, it's a way to test the waters. So we just want to see what is the real interest that people said during the survey. And it was something like, how many people responded? 800, 900, something like that?
No,
1200. So, and a lot of people said, or the majority said, yes, we are interested in a magazine like this. I think it was something like 90% of all those respondents.
Yeah.
And more than half of them said, yes, we would support a Kickstarter. And a few had some conditions, and some people didn't know what Kickstarter was. So we want to see if really, you know, people are willing to back the Kickstarter, and for that you have to be realistic, and I'll say, okay, because we also think that it might be a little daunting to say, okay, we want to do a Kickstarter for, let's say, the whole first year, and we want this much money immediately. A lot of people might go like, oh, that's quite a lot of money that they're aiming for, and we've seen with other Kickstarters that unless you have a really big name attached to it, or a product with a lot of nostalgia or whatever, that it's very difficult to actually raise the funds necessary. So that's why we're just trying to keep it small and keep it under control, basically.
For those of you who are watching live, I see we were joined by a very special member of Karen Sideway Publishers.
That's Jack.
He's the official paper shredder, right?
He is, yeah. Although, you know, credit card security bids me to tell you that if you send in your credit card, your renewal form with your credit card, it goes to an actual shredder. He's not always reliable.
Well, he does his best.
He does his best, yes, but he also gets squirrel.
So let's give the bottom line for listeners for when it comes to the Kickstarter. Just as a reminder, when does it go live? How long is it? How much are you raising? What do you think is the most enticing backing level? And what's your pitch? Why should they back?
Okay, it goes live this Wednesday, March 18. It runs for 30 days. Our goal is 12,500 euros. Oh boy, it's a difficult question. What's the most enticing level? I think I would probably say 30 euros, because then you get the first issue of the magazine and you get the pick of one of the really good and nice books that we already have, one of which was written by Yoshio. And the other one actually was co-written by the other co-editor. So these guys can write some. Or you can go for the Art of Ancient Warfare book. Yeah, I think that if it were me, I'd probably go for that level. And I forget what your last question was.
How about you, Yasha? What do you think is the most enticing backing level for people?
Yeah, I would join Jasper in saying that it's probably the level with the books, and I would definitely go for the Art of Ancient Warfare book because especially just the book is going to contain loads of pictures, mostly covers and centerfolds. We're thinking right now,
yeah,
and especially the covers. Most of those have never been seen in all their splendor, let's say. So this is a chance to see those covers without all the text written on it and the logo and everything, and just to see it in printed in full size in book format. So that to me would be the most interesting pick also.
Well, I'd like to tell all of my listeners that, as is always the case, I never have anyone on the show or I never promote anything that I don't believe in. And I firmly love everything that you guys have done that I've been able to see. And I am sure that with enough encouragement, people will get out there, they'll back the Kickstarter project, and we'll have a great magazine, I think. And I'm really looking forward to backing it. I want to encourage everyone else to take the time to make sure that they go and back it early. Like you said, there's some great rewards here. And I'm torn for me personally whether I would go for that $30 level because those books are very exciting to me, or to go for something similar because I would love to get a signed copy too. So I'm someone who loves things that are signed, and maybe it's because I work in a library and, you know, signed books are exciting to me and signed magazines or whatever. But there's a lot of really great options there.
Yeah. As a side note, one of our colleagues came back with an issue of Ancient Warfare 1-2 and 1-3 last week in pristine condition. She had them for marketing purposes, and they're fine, but she's not reading them. And we were thinking that I should probably, because we don't have them anymore, these are sold out. That's actually, they've been reprinted and they're sold out. The reprint is sold out. So it's going to be a long time before we reprint those, if we ever do. So we figured that I should probably sign those issues, and maybe Yosho too, even though he didn't know about the existence of Ancient Warfare at the time, to his eternal disgrace. Probably. He was busy with doing his PhD, which is a fair excuse. And then put them on eBay for a charity or something.
I think that's a great idea. I'm not sure if either of you are aware, but one of the things that I have made a focal point of doing with the podcast is to try to give back to charities, much like Henry Hyde does with his books and everything, and to pick something that's important to me and to use my platform to help raise funds for it. And I think you guys have a great platform should you pick a charity that is near and dear to your collective heart. And then lend a hand with something like this. I think that's a wonderful and very heartwarming thing to do.
Yeah, but it's just an idea because you were talking about the sign thing. Yeah, just to reiterate, the it's just early bird. It's just a matter of being there first. There's no extra cost for the autograph. It's just a way to, you know, entice those people who like to have signed copies of something to go out there and pledge early. And of course, encourage the rest to do so as well.
Well, at this point in the show, I like to ask my guests if there's anything that maybe we didn't cover that they'd like to cover, and also to share with the listeners how listeners can keep up to date with what you do, whether it's social media or websites, blogs, any of that sort of stuff, things that you have coming out, and how they can just kind of stay in touch.
Maybe one point about the issue that we're going to do for Ancient History Magazine. As you probably know, all of the magazines that we do have are centered around particular themes. And for the theme for this first Ancient History Magazine issue, we're going to do discoveries in the ancient world. So, you know, how did the ancient people explore to go and find amber, for example, explorations of the Indian Ocean, the travels of Hanno the Carthaginian, and all that sort of stuff. But Ancient History Magazine is going to be slightly different compared to our other magazines because the topic is so broad. The theme itself will probably take up less space in the magazine than non-theme related articles. So there will be more space for people who say, well, I'm not particularly interested in the theme immediately. So there will be other articles that fit in there. And like we do with Ancient Warfare, Medieval Warfare, usually we try to do something that is completely different from the actual theme. So that's already to get some sort of idea of what this first issue is going to be about. And if you want to know what the layout is probably going to look like and that sort of stuff, you can have a look at the PDF sample that's available on the website.
Yep. And just to reiterate, that website is www.ancienthistorymagazine.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ancienthistorymagazine, all one word. On Twitter, it had to be shortened because Twitter doesn't like very long handles. It's ANC for Ancient Hist Mag, I believe.
No, it's Ancient Hist Mag.
Ancient Hist Mag, yeah, that's it, yeah.
We'll have it correct in the show notes, whatever it is.
Yeah,
for
thank
everyone.
You. Yeah, it's that's a disadvantage. You have to shorten it. And maybe we should add, you know, everybody should back this because there is no magazine about the ancient world as a whole that's going to look at the ancient world, you know, using every source available. There's a tendency to sometimes look only, as Joshua explained, only at the archaeology or only at texts or only, you know, at this part or that part, or maybe anthropological views. We're going to try and always use all possible sources to give a complete, as limited as a magazine give a complete overview of a theme with some really interesting angles that we'll also always try to include with good illustrations that are made especially for this issue, which is not something that's done anymore, really. For some reason, we're nuts, but it works, and people like it. So, you know, I think if that sounds like a good idea to you, then you should back this Kickstarter.
And Yasha, how can people stay up to date with all that you are doing?
Well, the website is probably the most convenient thing. I mean, we post blog posts regularly on the Ancient History Magazine and Ancient Warfare Magazine websites. We have the Facebook pages, as Jasper already said, and we also update Twitter regularly, though most of that is usually a reiteration of what's already on Facebook or the website. And, of course, if you want to stay completely up to date with what's happening with Covenant Strike Publishers, you can also subscribe to the newsletter on our website. So you can tick the box as regards your particular interests, and then you get a monthly update of what's going on in the world of Covenant Strike Publishers.
I am sure that my listeners will definitely stay up to date with all of you, and I know that I will have to do that as well. I just want to thank both of you for coming on the show. I love that you were able to take the time out. I know with the time difference, it can be a little tricky, and then you guys are so busy. Not only are you working on this, and you have the Kickstarter going, and you have the new publication coming out, but you have your other stuff that you do, and plus you have your own lives. I mean, you don't live and breathe 24/7 these magazines. So just thank you to you both for taking the time to come here on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure.
And
thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh no, thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, it said that I was muted or something. I don't know. Funny Google.
Oh, Google is crazy. For everyone who's listening to this episode after the fact, this is / was, depending on your continuum in the timeline, a live recording and Google Hangout on air. While useful, it is interesting in that it doesn't always work as planned, right? So for that reason, too, I'm appreciative that you guys are able to roll with the punches. And we had a little bit of craziness that went on at some points. But before the episode ends, we have just a couple sections. If you're both willing and able to stay, that's great. And if not, I will give you free warning to, jettison yourselves. But just have a mailbag section and an announcement section to share with all of the listeners. Can you stay or do you need a skedaddle?
I can stay. Sure.
Okay. So digging right into our mailbag section. In episode, 130, where I covered the Total Confusion Gaming Conference here in Massachusetts, I had special guest Stephen Parento on. A lot of Stevens. And, he is the event coordinator, event director for TotalCon. And so we talked about a lot of things. And one of my listeners, listener Adam, who actually ran an event at the convention had a question because he is a big Flames of War fan. And on the episode, my guest Steven had said that they are not really interested in having Flames of War there. And so listener Adam actually wrote on Facebook and said to me, quote, good podcast, John. Steven, it's always interesting to me to hear the organizer's side. How firm are you about not wanting a Flames of War tournament? It seemed like there was lots of space available for miniature wargaming on Sunday through that might be due to the weather, unquote. And so anyone who was there at TotalCon knows that here in New England, we were hit with tons of snow. We almost broke records and just tons and tons of it everywhere. So parking was a problem and that may have kept some people away. So I promised, Adam that I would get in touch with Steven and I'm going old school here with his analog response. And Steven says, quote, good question from your listener. What I should have said is we don't have the space to run more than one tournament event at a time. Normally, everyone wants a Saturday event, leaving the tables empty Friday and Sunday. As I had said in our interview, I always take submitted events before I fill it in with our staff events. So in short, a Sunday Flames of War event is totally feasible. It may have looked empty this year because normally we have to shunt the RPGA area into the minis hall because of the Sunday brunch that normally goes on. This year, the hotel management canceled the brunch, so we didn't have to move the RPGA group into the minis area for space. So I want to thank both Adam and Steven for their comments and Steven for taking the time to get back. So any of you who listen who are big fanatics or fans of Flames of War, who knows, maybe there'll be a Flames of War tournament in the near future at TotalCon. And then just a quick announcement. I want to remind everyone that I'm very excited and thankful that 127games.com has renewed their sponsorship for Wargaming Recon for the 2015 podcast season. And in line with that, we still have our Patreon going. Just like Jasper and Yasho are doing Kickstarter for the new magazine, we're doing Patreon instead, where if you like what I do here at Wargaming Recon, you can help support the show and keep it going. I do what I can, but with that little one, money keeps on funneling that way and less towards the show. So anything you can do is a huge help, but you can support it for as little as $1 an episode, which is roughly $2 a month. That's less than a single cup of coffee. And you can do that by going to wargamingforums.com/Patreon. And don't forget, the show notes for this episode has links to everything we talked about, the Kickstarter, all the websites and the Twitter account and everything. And you can find that by going to wargamingforums.com/WR131. That's wargamingforums.com/WR131. So I just would like to one more time thank the both of you for coming on the show and for taking the time to spend these few hours with me. And that, my friends, is a wrap. So thank you again.
Yep. My pleasure.
And for
welcome.
I was going to say, for some reason, Google has muted Jasper. It seems to dislike you. I don't know why that is. We need to give it a beating. So as always, no matter what is going on in your lives, no matter how busy you are, how many Kickstarters you need to kickstart, I hope that you will always know that you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.